Alexa, load on. My voice sounded foreign to my ears, and I blinked as I adjusted to the brightness. Glancing at the clock, I realized it was almost 9 in the evening. I'd slept for hours without any interruption. The hospital had driven me fucking nuts with the nurses and doctors running in every 15 minutes. I stood, testing the strength in my legs, and straightened slowly. My stitches were still healing, but they would come out in a few more days. It took me a minute, but I finally made it to my ensuite bathroom and took a piss. God, it felt good to be home. The loud growl of my stomach agreed. Once I'd relieved myself and washed my hands and face, I left my room and made my way to the kitchen. To my surprise, I didn't find Ella. Kip was there instead. Where's Ella?
She had to run to her place to grab a few things. You're stuck with me.
He flashed me a cocky grin.
Sit, I'll heat up some Chinese food that Dope picked up.
I grunted, holding onto the side of the table as I sank into the chair. I'm starved for some real food. I massaged my forehead.
Is there any Advil around? I can't seem to shake this headache. You would think the pain meds would take care of it, but I guess it's Advil for the win.
Kip briefly hesitated before locating which cabinet I kept the meds in.
You hit your head pretty hard in the accident.
He reached for the bottle and shook it.
It's all out, man. I'll ask Ella to pick some up for you on the way over.
That's strange. I don't recall taking the last of it. The room blurred for a moment, and my stomach rolled. I hate the fucking pain meds. They mess with me, and I can't remember anything. They're supposed to help, but they make me feel like shit.
Kip scooped up some rice, broccoli, and beef onto a plate before he popped it into the microwave. Maybe some food will help. If not, try some crackers and 7-Up. Dope bought some for you, just in case.
I hate this. I feel helpless.
You're not. If someone broke into your home, you'd still put a hell of a beating on him.
Kip chuckled.
I know you don't like being down and out, but you're healing fast. You'll be back at the club soon.
He set the piping hot food and a fork in front of me. I don't recall the accident at all. I eyed him, a creepy sensation ghosting over me.
As I said, you hit your head hard. The doctor wasn't sure if you had brain damage. It was a fucking relief when you recognized us. It could have been so much worse.
Silence settled over us, like a wet blanket, heavy and suffocating. Kip sat in the chair across the table from me as I played with my food.
I'm glad you made it out alive, man. We thought we'd lost you for a while. It sucked ass.
His words meant a lot to me, and I looked up at him. Like you and Dope could get rid of me that easily? I cracked a grin at him. It's weird as hell not remembering anything, though. It's like I know someone else was there, but it's just a shadow in my memory.
Probably the EMT. Maybe you had moments of consciousness while they were cutting you out of the car.
Hearing him say that, I leaned back in my chair, exasperated.
I don't have a fucking car now, do I?
Kip's brows dipped with concern.
You've still got your other one. Since you drove the BMW more, your Mercedes is still in its parking space.
Oh. I glanced at the food growing cold on my plate. How did I not know that?
Don't think too much of it. Your body has been through hell. Just try to relax and let your friends and girlfriend take care of you for a week or so. If there are any more memory issues, we'll call the doctor, but stressing over it won't help any.
Finally, I shoved a forkful of rice into my mouth. You're right. I remember a ton of other stuff.
Do you know Ella stayed next to your bedside at the hospital?
My heart skipped a beat, recalling the moment I saw her. Yeah.
Man, she never left you, Bass. Ella slept there, showered there, and ate there. You don't do that unless you really care about someone.
I swallowed my food and stared at him, finally feeling something good again. Why do you think that?
Well, the way she looks at you, for starters, like you're the only person on the planet. Chicks don't hang out at hospitals like that either. There's definitely something there. Hell, she even got feisty with a nurse for wanting to wake you up again.
Kip chuckled.
You did a good job when you found her. I think she's a great fit for our group.
Her father has cancer. Unfortunately, she's had a lot of time in hospitals. I ate another bite, my stomach feeling better as it had some food. And thanks. She's pretty special.
I think she'll be good for you.
I set the fork on the side of my plate and looked at my friend. Would you think I was crazy if I told you I think I'm in love with her?
You're already crazy, dude.
All after was a nice change. Everything inside me wants to move her into the penthouse with me, but it's too soon. I can't rush things between us. Kip massaged the back of his neck.
Wow, I've never heard you talk about anyone like that before.
Oh no, I just worry I'll do something to fuck it up. He shook his head.
I don't think you can scare her off. Just don't cheat on her.
You know me better than that. I'm a one-girl kind of guy. Kip cleared his throat, appearing uncomfortable.
Is she seeing anyone else?
Something in his tone hit me the wrong way, and the idea of sharing a future with Ella suddenly came to a screeching halt.
Chapter 43. Ella. I reached over and took his hand. What was it, Dope? It's okay, you can talk to me. I was afraid to hear what he was about to say, and I remained quiet until Dope was ready to tell me what he saw at Sebastian's childhood home. He took a long, slow drag of his joint and held it for what seemed like an eternity. Finally, he exhaled, and the wind swept away the acrid smell of the marijuana. His hands shook, and his eyes held a faraway look as if he were living that day over again.
His parents butchered.
I gasped as my hand flew over my mouth and my entire body stiffened with horror. Oh God, I'm so stressed that I'm hearing shit that isn't true.
There was so much blood, so much fucking blood, Ella. The stench was almost as bad. Even though I was fucking panicked, I forced myself to walk to the edge of the kitchen. I knew better than to go in. My mom watched a ton of crime shows, and all I could think of was not contaminating any evidence. Anyway, I stopped at the threshold and peered in. What I saw fucking snapped me in two. Huddled in the corner was Bass, holding a bloody knife in his hand and shaking violently. Jesus fucking Christ, I hissed as I shot up from my seat. My emotions churned and burned inside me. Poor Sebastian. Poor Dope. Oh my God. He had said his parents had died, but he hadn't wanted to talk about it. I thought they'd been in a car accident, but this... Holy fucking shit. This... Could the situation get any worse? Tell me he didn't kill his parents, Dope, please. I begged, strangling on my own words. He didn't. Not really. I need a minute. I stomped away, a storm brewing inside me. My mind spun with a merry-go-round of questions. I whirled back around and placed my hands on my hips, my shock and pity morphing into anger. What do you mean, not really? You need to stop dragging your feet and tell me everything, dope. You're fucking with my head and feelings for a man that I've fallen for. Just rip the damn band-aid off. I'm sorry, Ella. Reliving this all is gutting me. I understand where you're at, but you need to remember that Bass, Kip, and I are like brothers. Keep that in the back of your mind as I tell you the rest. So you're telling me that you're all insane or that this isn't what it seems like? I tapped my foot impatiently while a sheen of sweat broke out across my forehead. Both. He shoved his fingers in his red hair, leaving it disheveled. Then get to talking. Yeah, I've got this. He nodded as if to reassure himself that he could go through with the conversation. I ran out of the house and back to mine, where I phoned Mom at work. I was nearly hysterical as I tried to explain what I'd seen. She called Dad and the cops and told me to stay put. It was then that I realized Bass was holding the damn knife. If the police showed up and he was still gripping it, they would arrest him and charge him as an adult. I snuck away and ran my ass off back to his place. That time I went through backyards so no one would see me. I barged into his home and ran to the kitchen. After I skirted the walls of the kitchen and reached Bass, I talked to him like I always did. I told him about the new Dungeons & Dragons story I was thinking about. I tried to be so careful walking into the crime scene as I spoke to him. He just rocked back and forth with a blank look on his face. My goal wasn't to get him out of there. Just get the knife. If they didn't have a weapon, they wouldn't suspect Bass had anything to do with the murders. The fear rising in my chest felt like an avalanche of ice-cold water. Terror rippled through me, and I could almost feel the sharp talons as they scraped along my skin. I gritted my teeth nervously, every inch of me shaking, desperate to ask a question but terrified at what the answer may be. Did he? Dope's gaze softened, a deep sorrow in them. I don't know, he replied, his voice full of sympathy. Bass and I never talked about everything that happened, only bits and pieces. Even if we did, I'm not sure he'd remember what he saw. The memories are buried so deep inside him that I don't think he can tap into them. Sebastian blocked it out hard. Whatever went down, I doubt we'll ever get the full story. I curled my hands into fists, fighting the rush of tears, ready to break free, but somehow, I managed to rein them in. How does Kip fit in all of this? Let me get there. After the cops showed up, social services took Bass. He wasn't at school for weeks, and I couldn't get in touch with him. Mom was able to reach the social worker, but Bass was at a boys' home where they were keeping him until they found a family willing to take a traumatized preteen in. Mom and Dad were all over that, and it wasn't long after Bass moved in with us. Shit. Were you scared he'd hurt your parents too? Fucking terrified. I didn't sleep for the first month he was there. But over time, I saw glimmers of my best friend. Mom was a huge fan of therapy, and the state paid for his sessions. Mom never told me what she'd learned, but whatever it was, she was even kinder to Bass. She went out of her way to make him feel like family. Damn, he's always been family, but his parents were brutally murdered in front of him. That shit scars someone for life, man. You don't ever unsee something that horrible. I sure as hell didn't, and I didn't see it all go down, just the aftermath. He took a steadying breath. Life returned to normal, for the most part. Kip moved into the neighborhood, and we all hit it off pretty quick. There were days that Bass was super quiet, and I knew he was struggling with the loss of his parents. It wasn't until later that I learned how bad it really was.
Dope shuddered before he picked up his joint. I snatched it out of his grip as he was about to light it.
You'll get this back when you're finished telling me the rest.
Dope scowled at me.
Don't be a brat, Ella. Give me my weed.
He held his hand out, but I stood my ground. When Dope realized I wasn't fucking around, he started to talk again. The heavy ball in my stomach churned, and I needed him to get to the damn point.
Kip was staying over for a D&D weekend. We're excited about the expansion that had just come out. Dad actually picked it up for us. Mom bought snacks and drinks and checked on us a few times. Other than that, we're a hold up in my room for those 2 days. Man, that time was so fun. It was like Bass hadn't lived through hell, and I had my best friend back. He seemed like he'd healed enough to move on. It was good to see him happy. Kip didn't really know any difference since he'd only been around for a year, but I did. I really thought Bass had turned a corner. I was so fucking wrong.
I froze, waiting for Dope to ease my fears.
At first, it was kind of subtle. Bass would imitate a character to entertain us. His voice would change and the expressions on his face were cool as hell. It was like he could become someone else. Kip told him he had found his calling and could make good money as a voice actor for Batman or some other superhero cartoon. By the time the weekend was nearly over, we were tired as hell for staying awake for almost 48 hours. That's when shit hit the fan.
The pressure in my head grew more and more intense as fear consumed me.
All of a sudden, Bass shuddered like he was cold. Then his entire face changed. His eyes looked different and his accent was gone. He gave us the evilest smile I'd ever seen, and I almost pissed my pants when he started talking.
Dope glanced at me, our cases locking. A dark and heavy dread licked up and down my body, and my palms grew clammy. This can't be happening. He can't be saying what I think he's saying.
He said he had gotten home from school and walked into his house like any other day. That time, there was a strange man there. Bass heard fighting and crept closer to listen. His father argued with the man and his mother screamed. Bass got so scared he hid beneath the stairs. There was a little door there for storage and he crawled in. He listened to his mom die a horrible death, Ella.
A groan of frustration and relief escaped me.
He didn't kill his parents?
Dope, how could you not tell me that first? I fisted my hand and bit my knuckles, trying not to punch him in the damn jaw for not telling me that information to begin with.
Because if I had started with that, you wouldn't have listened to the rest. You would have made up your mind before I told you everything.
Finally, after learning that Sebastian was innocent of murder, I collapsed back into my seat, still shaking from the intensity of my emotions. The important thing is that Sebastian didn't murder his family. A heartbeat of silence hung in the air.
I never said that. I said I didn't have the entire story.
Chapter 44. Sebastian. A sickly combination of fear and anger snaked through my body. I hadn't talked to Ella about seeing other people, so I had no idea if she was or wasn't. You're making me cranky, mate. Do you know something? Or are you just asking me if Ella is dating around? He raised his hands in surrender. All I'm seeing is, has there been a conversation and a commitment? Or is there a possibility she might be seeing someone else? A low, guttural growl slipped from my throat and echoed through the kitchen. She mentioned that she wasn't, but that was a few weeks ago, and I didn't pry at the time. I trust her.
You should too, unless you've seen her with someone. Nope, I'm just watching out for my brother. I think she's great, and I'd love to see the two of you together long term. But it's never safe to assume she's not dating anyone until there's been a conversation. Besides, she's young. Your rules aren't her rules.
As much as I hated to admit it, Kip was right. There was an 11-year age difference. I was old school as far as relationships went. I'd planned on speaking to her after I got home from moving women and children to a safe environment. But then the car accident fucked up my plans.
Just talk to her, man. Ditch any preconceived ideas and have that conversation. Then you'll clear any doubt there might be on either side.
Picking up my fork again, I continued to eat. The thought of Ella being touched by another man had nearly sent me into a toxic rage, and I had to rein in my temper fucking fast. It was definitely time to change the topic. This is good. I jabbed the fork at my food. Maybe dope will bring us some more. Kip grinned at me.
It's nice to see your appetite is returning.
What about you? What were you up to while I was laid up in a hospital bed?
Nothing new. I took care of the bar when I wasn't with you.
Have you met anyone new lately? He laced his fingers behind his head.
Nah, same old shit another day. Chicks throwing themselves at us, but nothing serious. I was interested in Ella's friend Cammy, but she showed up at Velvet Vortex with a cop as her date.
My entire body went ramrod straight. And you didn't think to mention that to me?
I just did.
Suna,
best dude, you were laid up in a hospital bed, barely hanging on by a thread. Cut me some slack, for fuck's sake. I was waiting for the right time to tell you about it. At this point, it doesn't seem like it's serious between them. If it is, then we've got plenty of practice keeping the Safe Horizon Society under wraps. It's all good. I think your pain meds are making you irritable. Maybe see if you can dial it back before you hurt someone.
We don't hang out with cops. End of discussion. I blew out a sigh. I didn't mean to give you shit. It just surprised me. If Ella's best friend is dating someone on the police force, it could be problematic. Hopefully Ella realizes that and won't ask us to go out with them much.
If she does, we'll deal with it. Just be sure to direct the conversation and watch your body language. This is normal for us, though. I didn't tell you about Cammy to stress you out, just to be cautious.
He gave me a slight shrug.
Hopefully, their relationship will be short-lived.
Kip seemed confident about the situation, and I decided it wasn't worth wasting my energy over, unless it became an issue. I would definitely be careful around them in the meantime. Thanks for having my back. You're a good bloke. You keep me on a good path. I ate slowly, brooding about Ella. Kip and I had grown up together, and he carefully chose his conversations. At times he walked on eggshells around me. Hell, dope did too. Usually I was pretty chill, but my temper occasionally got away from me. Guilt drowned me like a tidal wave, and it finally hit me that I'd almost died. I had to stop being an asshole and make some changes. Kip and Dope were innocent bystanders of my rage, but I was really only angry at myself. When my parents had passed away, the world had ended, and my anger had seeped into every corner of my life. I could control it most of the time. But that wasn't good enough. It wasn't good enough for Ella. I had to find another way to release my pent-up aggression without returning to underground fighting. Whether I liked it or not, Kip had a point, and I relaxed a little, realizing his intentions were in the right place. There was one quick way to get to the bottom of Kip's and now my concerns with Ella. Once she was home for the evening, we needed to talk and get on the same page. I wasn't interested in having my heart ripped out of my chest.
Chapter 45. Ella. My hope folded in on itself with Dope's correction. "Keep going," I whispered.
Bass kept talking about how the man found him hiding and jerked him out from beneath the stairs. Bass assumed he'd be killed next, but clearly he lived. Anyway, Bass continued in that fucked up character he was pretending to be and said the man dragged him to the kitchen where he saw his mom, dead. His father was tied up on the floor next to her, still alive. The stranger had duct taped his dad's mouth so he couldn't yell for help. The guy forced the knife into Bass's hand and ordered him to kill his father. My world tilted on its side and I gripped the edge of the table. The cold, rough cement bit into my palm. Choking out a cry, I focused on the ground and tried not to scream in agony. The man took his time and instructed Bass how to kill someone slowly to make him suffer for his sins. He guided Bass's hand with each stab to his dad's body. As twisted and fucked up as that was, Bass wasn't finished. He detailed the last blow to his father's chest that he alone delivered. He was covered in his father's blood, and at some point, he lost his way from what the murderer made him do. The police report said there were 23 puncture wounds. My heart stopped beating, and I stared at him in shock. Acid churned in my gut as I tried to reconcile that Sebastian had been forced to kill his flesh and blood. But somewhere inside him, he had flipped when he delivered all 23 blows that ended his father. I rushed a few feet away before I bent over and emptied the contents of my dinner on the grass. Swiping at the string of spit, I wondered why I could witness death murder someone in my house. But the thought of Sebastian doing the same sent me into a wicked tailspin. I slowly straightened and turned to Dope. Did they ever find the killer? Did he know the family? How did that even fucking happen in the first place? I wiped my mouth with the back of my hand, the acidic taste of vomit still lingering in my mouth. No, they never found him. I have no idea how he knew or if he knew Sebastian's family. It's all still a mystery. Overwhelmed, I shook my head, attempting to clear my thoughts. My forehead pinched as another piece of the puzzle clicked into place. God damn it. Dope, you and Kip have protected him all these years? Yeah, it's not been easy when he changes. He's the extreme opposite of Sebastian. A boulder hit the pit of my stomach with my suspicions, but I had to listen to what Dope had to say. I need to hear the rest because right now my brain is full speed ahead, and I'm hoping like hell it's running in the wrong direction. I croaked as I wiped my runny nose. I get that. That weekend scared Kip and me shitless. Damn it, I lived with Bass. And as much as I wanted to believe that he was just messing with us, I knew in my gut that he wasn't. Over the next year, I couldn't ignore it anymore. I was terrified for a long time, but then I got to know his other persona. His name is Death, I whispered, tears clogging my throat. Yeah. I shook uncontrollably, realizing that I'd fallen for two opposing sides of the same man. That twisted me into a fucking pretzel. Seconds later, a wave of short-lived relief consumed me as I realized I hadn't slept with Kip. He wasn't Death. Moments later, that relief turned to horror, quickly followed by love for both men. I was fucked up and unable to wrap my head around the situation. How? How was my sweet, safe Sebastian
also death. A cruel serial killer. I shoved my fingers through my hair and pulled until my scalp stung. I couldn't scream in the middle of the park or draw attention, but I was overloaded, and my emotions needed a temporary outlet until I had time alone to process. Does he understand that he's also death? Dope pursed his lips together.
No, at least not that I know of. We have very different conversations with each personality, careful not to slip up badly enough that he catches on. I'm sure you're wondering why we didn't get him help.
Yeah, that was my next question.
I read somewhere that if the personalities are aware of each other, it could drive someone insane. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I was afraid to risk it until recently. And if Kip or I ever turned him in, the courts would lock him away for the rest of his life. He had already lost everything. His home, his mom and dad, his mind. Kip and I couldn't take his freedom, too. About a year ago, he got onto the dark web looking for porn. That's when he found you, and he was immediately obsessed.
I leaned over and pressed my stomach against my legs, slamming my eyes closed. Death had stalked me, forced himself into my life, and was a cold-blooded killer. My fists clenched and I dug my nails into my skin as I attempted to marry the two different men together. Dope stretched his legs out in front of him.
It's what Kip and I were talking about in the hospital. We were completely baffled as to why you hadn't figured out who Death was.
Easy. He only visited at night for a while, so I couldn't see him. When I could see him, he wore a Grim Reaper mask. His eyes are gray, but Sebastian's a blue, and Death doesn't have an accent. Do you have any idea how many men are tall with large hands and broad shoulders? How in the hell was I supposed to know it was Sebastian? I rubbed my arms, warding off the chill of our conversation.
His masks are fucking badass, so I get that. Did you know that eye color can change when someone is in a manic state or a different personality emerges?
No, I had no idea, but I've never dealt with this situation before. A combination of relief and grief punched me in the chest as silence hung in the air. Dope?
Yeah.
Why did you and Kip stick around when you learned about Sebastian's condition? And who else knows? Dope laced his fingers behind his head.
As fucked up as it is, he's family to both of us. And I'm sorry that Kip and I didn't come to you sooner, but we had to make sure that we could trust you.
He winced.
I don't know how else to say it.
You're fine. But why did you decide to tell me now?
Because we saw how much you love Sebastian. Maybe you've not said it out loud, but it's clear to us. Sebastian is in love with you too. We figured if you were staying with him in the hospital, it was time to tell you the truth. Anyway, as for why Kip and I stuck around, he had no one else other than us. We thought at the time that if we could learn to identify what triggered him, we could manage the situation. It wasn't until we attended college in Washington State that I noticed Sebastian sneaking out of our shared dorm room a few nights a month. I hadn't talked to Death in a while, so I assumed shit had settled down enough not to trigger Bass. We tried to manage his stress level, but we're only human. We finally realized that when he got pushed to the limit, or it was the anniversary of his parents' murders, Death showed up. As we got older and became adults and owned a business, more stressful situations were added to the equation. He works long hours and lives off very little sleep, which doesn't help at all. He sighed. Then, rumors of a serial killer started floating around. I told Kip we had a problem and we either needed to turn Bass in
or cover his tracks. My eyes nearly popped out of my head.
What?
Yeah, well, we obviously didn't turn him in.
Why? He's a killer.
Yeah, Kip and I talked about it at length, and we chose to take care of him. Not only was he our brother, but he wasn't killing innocent people. The first time Kip and I tailed him, he killed a guy trying to rape a woman in an alley. The next day, a dad beating the hell out of his kid. Finally, Death stayed out long enough to talk to Kip and me again. He told us how he stalked his victims, making sure that they were truly hurting others before he, as he says it, washed the earth with their blood. He said that to me before, too. I stared at the couple walking by, holding hands.
Things took an interesting turn when Bass talked about wanting to build Safe Horizon Society for women and children. We worked on that project for 3 years and just helped local families at first. Bass has a heart of fucking gold, even with his rough edges, Ella.
But how does he pay for all of it? It's not cheap.
Nope. It's millions of dollars every year, but he doesn't care. He works at the bar as a cover or so. No one suspects what he's doing behind the scenes. When we were still in college, his uncle in Australia passed away and left Bass his money. His uncle was a rich motherfucker. Then Bass turned 25 and he received the trust his parents left him. He bought the penthouse with it. The equity in that place after 14 years, shit, he could sell it for 10 times what he paid.
Equity is a good thing. I chewed on my thumbnail, trying to process the information.
So you guys built the Safe Horizon Society to help the families. How did that play into his other persona?
It gave Death targets, and we were able to move him around so bodies didn't pile up all in one place. Some of the significant others we were helping these women escape from were straight up evil. They were into the skin trade, drugs, and illegal weapons. You name it. Sebastian, Kip, and I help the women and kids, and Death kills some of the men. In our opinion, he was saving people no matter what. Not once has he targeted an innocent. Now, when Kip and I research to see what families need help, we make sure that the guys are fucking sickos, too.
I did a double take, digesting what Dope had just said.
Shit, that's kind of genius. I bit my lip. I'm not a killer, but one less sick bastard around isn't a bad thing.
Exactly. Now we take on a few really big relocations because I hack into bank records and take money out of the target's accounts. We pocket the funds for the Safe Horizon Society, but what the investigators see is that he moved the money to an offshore account or paid off gambling debts. It's all different shit, but we've been able to fund the organization from them instead of Bass's pockets. He's still sitting on a pretty penny, though.
My brain sifted through the abundance of questions, choosing one to start with.
What about the accident?
Kip was following him. He probably got too close, and Bass caught sight of him right before the accident. Kip knew Bass was starting to change, and we were worried it would happen while he was driving.
It did.
Dope paused, appearing to collect his thoughts.
But Bass does hallucinate sometimes. Lately, it's when Death is trying to overtake Sebastian. Bass gets a horrible headache before he changes. He said it's like knives being shoved into his skull. My guess is that he was Death, then he flickered between personalities. Death thought he was pursuing Sebastian, then right before he hit the tree, Sebastian fully appeared.
And as for Kip, he's been running around like crazy, cleaning up behind Death in order to keep the cops off his scent. Kip would die for Bass. We both would. Both personalities have saved our asses so many fucking times. We will always watch out for our man.
He chuckled. Bass kept us busy as hell the last 3 weeks we were moving women and children. When we were in Montana, he kept disappearing, and I would have to tail him. Each time it happened, he went straight back to you as death. That was one of the pieces that had me messed up. How could death be with me when Sebastian was in another state with you? I shook my head, mulling over everything I'd heard. His plane made it easy. I can track his flights and car. Dope folded his hands in his lap. Ella, what are you going to do now that you know the truth? Chapter 46. Ella. I stared ahead, unfocused on anything or anyone except what Dope had just shared with me. Would I stay with Sebastian? I wasn't sure. But at least I finally understood that the push and pull inside me was for the same man. Could I handle death now that I knew the truth? One thing I was certain of was that he would never hurt me. Not after he had killed Stephen for me, and how he had taken care of me after he chased me through the woods. As hard as I tried to shut off my feelings for death and give myself to Sebastian, I couldn't. I couldn't ignore the connection between us that went beyond how he had protected me and his gentleness at times. A sharp knife stabbed me in the chest and pierced my heart, leaving me crying tears of blood. As I sorted through the details like a massive pile of dirty laundry, more questions flooded my mind. If Sebastian and Death are the same man, can you explain how I was getting text messages from Sebastian when I was with Death? It happened multiple times. Dope popped his knuckles before he responded. Easy. It was me covering his ass. What? How? I'm a hacker, Ella. It's what I do for the Safe Horizon Society. Bass pays me really well to get into websites, phones, and camera systems. Given enough time, there is nothing I can't hack into. Cocky much? Government files and information? Yep, done it. I'm just careful when and how I do it. Shit. Where were you when I needed to shut down? My brows raised. Oh, shit. He was Shadow Whisperer on the, I know about the work on the website. Don't worry. Bass wouldn't let me watch the videos. He took care of you in that way. Warmth seeped into my chilled body at Sebastian's protectiveness. Then my brows furrowed together. Do you know about Stephen? I swallowed the lump in my throat. Yep. Thank God we didn't have to clean up that mess in your house since Death dissolved, the son of a bitch. I placed my palms on the side of my head, holding it together in fear it might explode. How was I going to digest this? I suspect Sebastian paid my outstanding balance when he learned about the webcam job, but the hospital just said it was paid by an anonymous donor. Death made the new medical trial happen. That part of Sebastian has shown me some kindness. Possessive, dominating, and at times, feral. But I got used to it. I pursed my lips, refusing to share our personal moments. They were mine. Death was mine, and I was his. A part of me had wanted what Sebastian offered, but it felt as if I was smothering the other side of me. I forced myself to take a deep breath. I have to go back to the penthouse and pretend that I don't know anything. How the hell am I going to do that? It's not easy, but if you love him, if you love both Sebastian and Death, you'll make it work. Kip and I will help you. However, if you can't stay with him, you need to break things off with him now. I barked out a laugh. Death will come after me, Dope. I can't tell him I no longer want to be with him. I was afraid that he was behind the car accident, and in a way, he was. What would happen if I tried to break things off with him?
A twisted little thrill rippled through me while I reveled in the idea of death's dark hold over me. But I had one over him, too. His dark, obsessive need for me made my body tingle all over. I had grown to love him and all of his fucked up ways.
You might be the only person that could talk to him, Ella. I'm afraid the cops are starting to figure shit out and he's in trouble. He has to stop killing people for now. Kip and I are hoping that you might be able to make a difference for him. Calm the beast inside.
Unable to hold back the floodgates any longer, my body shook as I sobbed, reality slamming into me like an 18-wheeler on steroids. Sniffling, I gave Dope a sad smile. When my mom used to read books to me as a child, I always wanted the bad guy. I was convinced that the big bad wolf just needed to be loved in order to change. I've been drawn to a darkness that I didn't understand, so when death showed up, it was scary as hell. But then I realized there was a magnetic pull to him I couldn't control. He saw straight inside my soul and recognized things inside me I'd always been afraid to admit to myself. I hated him for seeing my vulnerability, playing on it to manipulate me. Then there's Sebastian. He's such a gentleman, caring, strong, and everything I could have ever hoped for. I looked at Dope, my shoulders shaking with my cries. What am I going to do? How am I going to reconcile the idea that this amazing man in front of me is also a brutal killer? Everything I've experienced with him as Sebastian is... A frustrated groan slipped from my throat as I stared at the cloudy sky. I don't want to hurt him. I'll never be free from death, and I'm not sure I want to be. If I tell Sebastian that I can't see him anymore, then I would have to run and hide from death. He would hunt me, and I would be constantly moving.
He'll find you. He's almost as good a hacker as I am.
The corner of his lips kicked up.
Almost. He had a damn good teacher.
That wasn't the advice I was hoping for, I muttered.
Truth trumps advice right now, Ella. You're gonna have to decide, just like Kip and I had to. Do you love him enough to keep his secret? Even cover up the murders of evil men?
I picked at the hangnail on my finger, unable to answer him yet. I cared deeply for both men, but a true commitment scared the shit out of me. If death went down, we all went down. You're already covering up murders and lies for him. I told the voice in my head to shut the hell up. I was well aware of my actions. That was not the real issue, though.
Listen, Sebastian doesn't know that I'm with you. He thinks you went to your house to grab some things you needed for work. Make up a bullshit story that you're sick and have the stomach flu and won't be back for a few days. Take a beat to process. Hell, Kip and I had to do the same thing. Kip almost ditched us the first time he met Sebastian's other personality. It's a lot to chew on. If for some reason you decide you can't stick around, Kip and I will help you relocate. Just please don't give Sebastian up.
I swallowed over the anguish. I haven't given death up to the police, and I won't now. You have my word.
Okay, and what about Sebastian? You could nail him for breaking the law, too.
I won't. He's doing too much good. Plus, I signed an NDA. I stood and brushed off the back of my jeans in case there was dirt on my ass. But it was the least of my worries.
Thank you, Ella. For the record, Kip and I are hoping you won't go anywhere. I think you're exactly what Bass needs. I know, that's a lot of pressure, but I don't mean it like that. Just being with you makes Bass happy, and he deserves a fucking break.
I turned to Dope as he stood and gave him a big hug. He's lucky to have you, and Kip as well. As we walked to the car, Dope slung his arm over my shoulder as if he were an older brother.
Before I drop you off, I'll make sure you have my phone number if you need anything. I probably don't have to tell you not to say or text too much on the line, though. Yeah, it's the same with my bosses when we're talking about a case. We keep the majority of the conversation in person. Excellent. When do you go back to work? We reached Dope's car and hopped in. In a week? Guess that gives me some time to think some things through. Dope started the engine, and before he shifted into drive, he asked for my phone and added his number. It's under Hal Whitney instead of my nickname. Thanks. I appreciate the support. You're a good guy, Dope. He pulled out of the parking lot and headed toward my house. I wasn't sure about you at first. And when you followed Bass when we were trying to get Sarah and the kids out safely, I was fucking pissed. You were my least favorite person. I cracked a grin. When did that change? When you didn't turn death in for saving your life with Steven, then for sure, at the hospital, you refused to leave his side. In all fairness, I was afraid death would slip into his room and finish him off. I stared out the passenger's side window. His gaze cut over to me. Even before you knew the truth, you were protecting Sebastian. Tell me why. A few heartbeats of silence hung in the air. Dope's brow arched, but he didn't say anything else. I heard his unspoken words loud and clear. I was falling in love with Sebastian. Once I was inside my house and the alarm was on, I poured myself a hell of a stiff drink. Throwing myself onto the sofa by the window, I propped my feet up on the edge of the coffee table. First, I messaged Sebastian and told him I was puking and wouldn't be back until I was better. I couldn't risk him getting sick and ripping open his stitches. From his texts, I could tell he was disappointed, but he was sweet and understanding. I tossed my phone on the cushion beside me, my body tense and waiting for death to slip into my house. When I realized he wouldn't be back until Sebastian healed from the car accident, I breathed a sigh of relief. I had at least a few days to process. I wished like hell I could talk to Cammy about Sebastian and death, but I knew I couldn't. Loneliness consumed me as the tears streamed down my face, and I allowed myself to crumble. Chapter 47, Ella. I shuffled through the file at my desk, searching for the information my bosses needed for the newest case. It had been a week since I'd seen Sebastian, and my time was running out. Thank God I had work to delve into and help me lose track of reality. Blake, my boss, walked into my office.
Ella, Clayton and I are leaving and on our way to the courthouse before it closes. We won't see you until tomorrow, but it's good to have you back.
I smiled at him. It's good to be back. Blake gave me a little wave as he left my office. The bell on the front door jingled, signaling someone was coming in or out. I suspected Blake and Clayton were leaving, but I had to check. I poked my head out and scanned the waiting area, but no one was there. Checking my watch, I realized it was 4:30. I could probably lock up, turn off the lights, and call it a day. Since the time had changed, it was getting dark earlier, and I considered parking on the street instead of walking to the parking lot behind the building. Suddenly, my palms slicked and perspiration dotted my forehead as the memory of death chasing me through the parking lot and woods bombarded me. My core throbbed with the reminder of him catching me and pinning me down as he roughly fucked me, punishing me. Inhaling a deep, calming breath, I tried to suppress my building desire. The longing for his rough touch sent delicious waves through my body. Shit, I groaned. I miss him. Both of them. I walked back to my office and sank into my chair,
staring at the organized stacks of paper I had to read through. However, I wasn't sure I could focus. Not only was I missing Death, but I was also missing Sebastian. Even though we had messaged a few times, he had given me the space I needed. Little did he know that I wasn't actually sick. It was time to decide once and for all to stay or walk away for good. Over the last several days, I had realized it wasn't a matter of Death being who he was. I had witnessed him firsthand. It was the fact that Sebastian, the loving, intelligent gentleman I'd fallen for, wasn't who I thought he was. At least, not entirely. Maybe I had the best of both worlds and needed to embrace it. What if I could find peace in the arms of a man responsible for so much dark and twisted chaos? The dread and fear of reconciling the two sides of Sebastian dissipated, and I knew in the depths of my being that I wanted to be with both of them. Standing, I closed my laptop and stuffed it into my computer bag. I snatched my phone off the desk and located Sebastian's number. Adrenaline shot my heart into overdrive as I listened to the phone ring for the third time. Maybe he was asleep. As I prepared to leave a message, he answered. "There's Miguel," Sebastian said. His husky voice and accent sent a tingling sensation through me and released warmth throughout my entire body. "Hey," I smiled. "How are you?" "Much better. Doc says I'm healing nicely. The stitches are out, and he said to take it easy, but that I could work toward getting back to my life." "That's wonderful. I'm so sorry I wasn't there to help, but the last thing you needed was to puke while you had stitches in your stomach." "I missed you, but I was glad you stayed away." "But are you better now?" I didn't miss the hope in his voice. "I am. Can I see you soon?"
"Come on over, Ella."
"I need to lock up. I came back to work today, so give me a few. Depending on the traffic, I should be there in about an hour."
"I can't wait. Are you hungry? I can whip up something to eat. If you want a steak and baked potato, I have a great wine that pairs well with beef."
"Oh, that sounds amazing. I've not eaten since 9 this morning."
"Excellent. Drive safely."
I closed my eyes, the gentleness in his tone sending delicious little shivers through me.
"I will. See you soon."
He said goodbye, then we hung up. 10 minutes later, I was on the highway headed to his place. My heels clicked against the hardwood floors in the hall of the penthouse floor. My heart thumped erratically, beating against my ribcage as though it might rip through my chest cavity. Sebastian might not understand that seeing him tonight was a monumental moment, but for me, I was all in with this man, all of him. The door swung open, and the guy before me nearly stole my breath. His jeans were slung low on his hips, and my gaze took a slow hike up his shirtless, muscled body. Tension in my core tightened as his hungry stare raked over me.
"You look stunning."
"I forget you've not seen me in a suit or a skirt before." I smiled, waiting for him to invite me in. As if he had read my thoughts, he stepped back and waved me inside. My attention was glued to him as he pulled on a navy polo, his biceps and chest muscles flexing with each move.
"Let me take your briefcase and purse. I'll set them next to the couch."
I gave him my items, but held on to my phone. Watching him walk away, I focused on the muscles flexing in his long legs and ass.
"You're getting around really well." "Doc said I surprised him with how fast I'm healing."
He strolled over to me again and wrapped me in his arms.
"Now that your bag's on in the way?"
His focus dropped to my mouth, then moved back up to my eyes before he pressed his lips to mine and I melted into him. Placing my palms against his chest, I relished the beat of his heart beneath my fingertips. I had almost lost him in the accident. It had been a wake-up call for how I truly felt about him. His tongue slipped into my mouth, swirling and dancing with my own. Fire and electricity sparked between us, and it felt so right. Sebastian's hand traveled up my back, moved under my long dark hair, and wrapped around my neck. His touch made my mind blink offline as my body took the driver's seat, responding to him on a level beyond my control. I arched into him, pressing my hips against his thick erection, mentally begging him to be inside me. Even though I hadn't had sex with Sebastian, I had with Death. A little voice inside my gut reminded me that Sebastian wasn't aware that I had slept with him already, so I had to play it cool and allow him to take the lead. Sebastian broke our kiss and pressed his forehead against mine as he cupped the back of my head, cradling me in his palm. "I've missed you so fucking bad. Stay with me tonight." I laughed softly. "I would love to. I just need to leave early enough to change clothes before I have to be back at work at 9. "Done." He took my hand and led me to the kitchen. "I have to check on the food. I took the liberty of pouring you a glass of wine. It's best after it breathes for half an hour." I smoothed my red silk blouse and sat at the small table in the nook. I sank my teeth into my lower lip as I watched him gracefully move about the kitchen.
"What?"
he asked, grinning at me. "You just seem very comfortable in here. I like it." His brow rose.
"Yeah? Guess I'll have to cook for you more often then."
"I can't support that until I taste your food. It might smell good, but tastes like crap." I laughed, enjoying the light conversation. The last week had been emotionally heavy, and I was ready to move forward. My phone vibrated against the tabletop, and I snatched it up and answered. "Hi, Mom. How are you?" "Hi, honey. We're hanging in there. I wanted to see how you're doing and give you an update on your father." My chest squeezed tight, wondering if it was good news. I shoved the hope back into a box and prepared for the worst. Over the last year, we had thought each treatment would be different,